Much of what I say might sound bitter, but it's the truth.
Right.
Much of what I say might sound like it's stirring up trouble, but it's the truth.
Right.
Much of what I say might sound like it is hate, but it's the truth.
They're flat evil. The evildoers are continuing to try to harm America and Americans.
The evildoers, hands of evildoers.
There's no shadow of the world dark enough for them to kind of slither around in.
There's a real threat.
There are people who want to use death. They want to murder innocent lives.
You're listening to Three Ring Radio, and I'm Dita Von Teese.
Hey, motherfuckers, you listen to Three Ring Radio, so fuck you.
Hello, you metal freaks. This is King Diamond, and you're listening to ThreeRingRadio.com. With Shane, you better stay tuned.
Hi, this is Ben of Penn and Teller. You're listening to Three Ring Radio, but I've been known to lie.
You are all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy. So, what'll I make you? Good? You're not good. You just know how to hide. How to lie. Me, I don't have that problem. Me, I always tell the truth. Even when I lie. The last time you're gonna see a bad guy like this again, let me tell you.
Some people say that I'm a bad guy. They may be right. They may be right. But it's not as if I don't try. I just fuck up, try as I might. But I can change, I can change. I can learn to keep my promises, I swear it. I'll open up my heart and I will share it. Any minute now I will be born again. Yes, I can change, I can change. I know I've been a dirty little bastard. I like to kill, I like to maim. I'm insane, but it's okay, cause I can change. It's not my fault that I'm so evil. It's society, society. You see, my parents were sometimes abusive, and it made a prick of me. But I can change, I can change.
What if you remain a sandy little butthole?
Hey, Satan, don't be such a twit. Mother Teresa won't have shit on me. Just watch me change. Here I go, I'm changing.
You're a member of the Church of Satan.
Yes, sir.
And he says he's written some books. What are the books?
The Trench Coat Diaries. I got a lot of exclusive information from the kids that are in the Trench Coat Mafia.
I'm like a young guy. How old are you?
28.
Didn't you also write a cookbook with an 80-year-old serial killer?
Yes, yes.
Fascinating talking to you. Here's the man who has the Ed Gein headstone.
Right on. Hey, man, thanks for all the laughs.
Hey, thank you.
Take it easy.
All right, bye.
In a few moments, you're going to be hearing from Mr. Pete Gilmore, the administrator of the Church of Satan, publisher and editor of the Church of Satan's official organ. It's called The Black Flame. In fact, he published Blanche Barton's book. This guy has an MA in music composition from New York University. This will not be a dull day.
Indeed. You're not listening to Bob Larson. You're listening to Shane Bugbee. That's me. And this is Three Ring Radio. ThreeRingRadio.com. If you haven't heard it enough. And this is part three. This is part three of a conversation I had with High Priest of the Church of Satan, Peter H. Gilmore. Yes, it was in three parts. Actually, two and a half. And so this other half of this hour, I'm going to fill it with the some excerpts from the Bob Larson, Peter Gilmore face-off. If you don't know who Bob Larson is, he's a funny Christian radio talk show host. And he's a real funny one, though. I mean, he gets Slayer in there and reads their lyrics. It's some classic stuff, and you'll actually hear Bob Larson reading a little bit of Might Is Right. Everyone out there knows about Might Is Right, right? If not, punch it into your search engines and find out about the wonders of Ragnar Redbeard and Might Is Right, a book I wholeheartedly endorse. And this is actually, I played four consecutive weeks of Peter Gilmore. This is the fourth week, third part of a three-part conversation I had with Peter Gilmore. The first week I played Peter Gilmore was a guest on a 24-hour radio show I did to commemorate the release of Might Is Right, a reprinting of the book Might Is Right that I published. And Peter Gilmore came on the show, and we did about an interview, and that's an actual formal interview that I had conducted with a couple of cohorts in the September 11th 24-hour broadcast Might Is Right special radio program we produced. The other two was that were in studio with me was Amy, my wife, and you can see her stuff at horrorofhorror.com. And then there was Doug, the gentleman that drew the illustrations for Might Is Right. And I believe you can find out more information about Doug in Might Is Right. Anyway, I'm going to be playing some Slayer, and it's against the rules at Radio Free Satan to play Slayer. And that's one of the stations that Three Ring Radio is broadcast on. So this very show may never broadcast on Radio Free Satan, a satanic radio station. But they say you can't play Slayer on the satanic radio station because the lead singer in Slayer says he's Christian. Well, I say fooey to that rule. Not for the rule, but because I think I'm going to play Slayer during this show, all constructed around the High Priest of the Church of Satan. It doesn't get much more satanic than Peter H. Gilmore, all right? And so I figure by me playing Slayer throughout this whole show and all of us thinking Slayer, 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 well, we might just be able to convert Tom Araya back, bring him back into the fold. Either way, I listen to Slayer. I don't think about fucking Christ or Christianity or nothing. Maybe I think about fucking Christ, but it's with a brick or a board. I don't think about him in any kind of nice way when I listen to Slayer. Slayer is such a motivating factor in my life. That's another reason I had to include Slayer in this show. So, anyone who loves Slayer, say hey. Here, I'm going to play some stuff real quick. I wanted to let you in on this. This is a secret now. But Peter Gilmore, I'm releasing this information. No one knows this stuff. So if you're not a listener at Three Ring Radio, you're never going to know. This song right here is Hotel California. And it's on a CD called The Moog Cookbook. And Moog is spelled M-O-O-G. And it's called The Moog Cookbook. Plays the classic rock hits. Here, this is Hotel California. And this is Peter Gilmore playing it. But he doesn't take credit anywhere on the album. Yes, Peter H. Gilmore, High Priest of the Church of Satan, helped out with the Moog Cookbook. Hear him? This is him, right here. And now, see, Mr. Gilmore has a CD out of his music, nothing like this. And you can get that through reptilianrecords.com or adversaryrecords.com, I'm mistaken. Look for their links on the Radio Free Satan website. Or you can always go to Three Ring Radio and email me for any information you may need. Here, this is Peter Gilmore. Yes. High priest of the Church of Satan helped out with the Moog cookbook. And this is the exclusive information I'm giving you here. Peter's going to get pissed when I let this rumor out. But, it's, you know, I'm verifying this rumor. It's been tossed around circles here and there. But I'm letting it go. Peter told me this in confidence. And, you know, I feel like I got to let the public know. He should know better to tell me. You know, Peter, you knew I was a scorpion. ThreeRingRadio.com. Peter H. Gilmore, third part of my conversation with Peter Gilmore. It's right here.
A couple more things. You're working on a book, right?
Oh, yeah. It's my book, Satanic Scriptures, is a collection of essays that I've printed in various places, plus a bunch of new ones, and Satanic Wedding Rite and the Satanic Funeral Rite, which I authored and have been used by our priesthood of Mendes for years now. I'm going to finally release those to the general public. I've had it pretty much done for a while. I keep tweaking things and yanking essays and adding different ones. But I finally, once I get the Black Flame out, I'll just say, okay, this is going to be it, and put it out. I'll stop fussing with it. thought that we covered some good ground here. You know, I think what's interesting is that a lot of what we talked about, ranging from all the different issues, all kind of come together in the idea of we do have a sort of war going on with the folks who are trying to legislate oppressive dogma against the folks who would really like to preserve a tolerant secular society. And it's a battle that we have to be conscious of. And I think we have to maybe focus people's attention on what the real battle is. Let them not get lost in the subterfuge of smog tactics to soften things or misdirect folks.
What tactics?
It's kind of, you know, like smoke screens.
Right, smoke screens.
Smoke screen kind of things, which is often what goes on. But we really have to keep the focus that you know, America, the United States is essentially a secular republic. We want to keep it that way. And by sticking to those fundamental principles and pointing out that there are people out there trying to undermine them, and that's really what we got to pay attention to, because that's how we'll win and maintain what we consider our cherished freedoms, which are the privileges granted to us, and we want to keep them. That's why we're here. We like that, you know. And actually, there doesn't seem to be any place else that has the same guarantees in their basic governmental structure.
Nowhere?
Not really.
Not even France?
France has blasphemy laws where if you say bad things about the Catholic Church, you can be fined and put in prison.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. I always thought... France sounds cool because our Crumb and Johnny Depp move there. So.
Yeah, well, you know, if they started really doing anti-Catholic Church stuff, they could find themselves in real trouble.
Really?
Europe is a very interesting place because, of course, it's a lot of small nations that are trying to work together as a bigger community and like a sort of meta-nation. But there's a lot of old laws on the books where church and state are not so far apart. So you got to be careful of those, because the thing is, if you become annoying in certain communities, they can dust those off and use them on you. And that's not a good thing.
Well, for me especially, I definitely get annoying real quick.
Yep, so yeah.
Are you agreeing with that?
Well, that's one of your skills. That's what you do that intentionally, of course, Shane. Don't play coy with me.
I guess I do. I don't like to admit it, you know.
Well, you know,
only the smart ones catch up. I weed out the weak that way, though.
There you go. You're doing your part for evolution.
Yeah. Stopping my evolution. Well, you know, it's been great talking to you about this stuff. You've really helped me, confirm what I've already came to the conclusion of, you know. Maybe some hope, I don't know.
Well, the hope is that, you know, there are people like us that exist, that there are the mavericks, there are the unusual, there are the folks who don't follow the status quo, and they're out there, and we have the ways of reaching them. And for that, you know, our kind of meta-tribe is in existence and will stay in existence. Like, you know, we've been here forever, and we may not be the majority of the population, but we're not going away.
But we do produce the most stuff, the most cool, you know, the coolest, most interesting stuff.
That's what we are. Our kind of folk are producers. We do things. And we enrich, you know, the world for the folks like us and for the other kind of people who are interested, too.
Yeah, I always felt like censorship belonged in the, especially in this government, in this commercial or consumer culture. I always believed that the censorship belonged in the marketplace, where if it's not accepted by the masses, it's just, you're not going to make it. You need money, so it's just not going to happen for you.
Well, you know, unfortunately, the masses will accept whatever marketing sells to them.
You think?
Of course, because I think that...
But the cream rises to the top.
Well, not necessarily, depending on you know, what people are conditioned to be after. You know, like, I'd say in the music industry that most of the stuff that's being sold to the mass market is just trash.
But being sold to them and being actually, like, relevant or successful in a way like Seinfeld, all uber satanic.
Well, Seinfeld's a, you know, wonderfully, I'll call it misanthropic thing.
Yeah, or The Simpsons. Those are two of the most popular things in TV history.
Yep, and they're wonderfully subversive.
Yeah,
so, you know, but the thing is, those worked, those are the exceptions to the rule. That, you know, it's again, the stratification pyramid. That quality stuff will be a small capstone. It does get out there. And that's what always gives all of us the impetus to want to do the things that we do, because there are breakthroughs. Even though the majority of stuff is going to just be a waste of our kind of time, like, you know, it'll satisfy somebody because it's out there and there's more of it than the good stuff. But that good stuff does get through.
So you're not down with the theory of the marketplace will be the censor?
Well, the marketplace isn't always the censor. It all depends on... It ebbs and flows so much that sometimes what might be considered censorable at one point ends up being the marketing point for it the next week. It really does. Like
that's true.
Flip-flop happens so quickly. So it's just this, it's a tide. It keeps moving back and forth. So I think because of the need for recycling and periodically shocking and then other times mollifying people, that, you know, there's enough variety that it's not going to suddenly lock into only one kind of thing. That it's mutable and it changes consistently. But, yeah, it's always going to cycle. Like, that's the thing that's consistent about it, is that it's going to keep changing.
Well, I guess I can see where you're coming from on that. I always thought the marketplace censored me plenty.
Well, you know, you see you're being censored, but what does that mean, really?
What does it mean? It means that I could not find distribution for years. When eBay came along, I found out that my stuff did sold well.
Right.
I couldn't sell as many books through certain distributors, and I just felt like I was censored through the marketplace, whether it was the bookstore in Kansas where kids were wanting the books, but this bookstore owner wouldn't buy them, or the guy wouldn't stock the shelves.
That's not, you're sort of lumping it all into the marketplace, but the marketplace includes the kids who actually bought your books. The thing is, distribution, control of distribution is an issue. And when you have limited means for distribution, you can be censored quite handily. But we're now at a point, as we were talking about earlier, where you have this wonderful internet tool and instantaneous electronic communication where you can bypass those old distribution deadlocks and actually reach your audience. So, you know, we've got a technology now that can help us to get by. I mean, we had trouble. We've had trouble with, you know, our publications, too. You know, the Church of Satan was censored a number of times. Distributors would buy, you know, a few thousand copies, and then they get it, and they go, oh, this book isn't anti the Church of Satan. We thought it was some kind of, you know, expose of it, and they'd return them all. We had it happen a whole number of times, you know, and people would be like, oh, well, we can't write this up for this library catalog because it's not against the Church of Satan. And people would say that to us on the phone, and we'd talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, they would literally say that, and we'd be like, well, you know, it's not your position to dictate the content of the book. You know, it's a book that's out there, and it's on the subject. And they wouldn't carry it because it wasn't against the subject. So, you know, and the Black Flame has had trouble with that often. You know, people would not want to carry it. We've had people not wanting to print it. You know, we've had to switch printers a couple of times. And, you know, it's just the people can shut you down that way. And you have to then look for new technologies to get your ideas out there.
And you're looking at censorship in a governmental way. When I say it's a consumer way, you're saying that the only way you can be censored is from the government.
Well, censorship, you can be legislatively censored. The government can come down on you and say, what you're doing, we legislate, is being against the law. They could say, by saying something positive about Satanism, that's against the law. That would be a real draconian censorship that nothing could get around. Like, they're the only ones who can do a censorship that's final.
Like France.
Yeah, if they have blasphemy laws that say, you can't do this, then if you did something blasphemous, they'd say, okay, you're out. You have no appeal. There's no way to appeal it. When it's a marketplace issue where it's a distribution function, you then have to go out and find new means for distribution.
And I have, yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. And the whole thing is, that's what's cool about a market, because the thing is, if there's actually somebody out there who wants to buy it someplace, the thing is, what would only shut you down is if nobody really wanted to buy what you were doing.
Right.
You know, then it would be just like, well, you know, you're doing this, but everybody thinks it's shit, so nobody's going to pay for it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then you're out of luck.
Yeah.
But if there are people who want it, you can often find some way of doing it. And that's how, actually, new forms of distribution often happen. You know, when the whole fanzine thing was going on, all the main distributors didn't want to carry the fanzines. So there were a whole bunch of new distributors that sprang up saying, well, we're going to carry all these. We'll run around to all the stores and show them these wares. And the stores are like, hey, you know, we don't have that. We want to get an audience in here. Let's try them out. And they tried them, and they brought in a new audience. They sold them. They made money. And it created all this alternative distribution. Unfortunately, most of those places have collapsed at this point. They're all gone because so many of the bigger you know, the chain bookstores have absorbed all the little mom and pop stores, and they are very they're pretty limited often with what they'll take. But then, like, places like Tower or Virgin will say, oh, well, we need to deal with the younger, more, you know, iconoclastic crowd, so we'll get in, like, Feral House books and, you know, the Black Flame and stuff like that.
Yeah, but those aren't really zines.
No, they're not.
Feral House is a pro publisher.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, but what they're publishing is material that,
sure,
you know, is pretty outrageous.
Right, what's that book Parfry does that makes him famous?
Apocalypse Culture.
Just a glorified zine.
Yeah, yeah, real, essentially, yeah, exactly.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's a compilation. It's good, and but that's what I always saw it as. I was like, wow, this is a zine, but in a book.
Yeah, well, he took, you know, the idea of, you know, what kind of stuff was going on in this culture, and let's put it together and present it in a way that's not what it's usually, it's not put out in this kind of form.
Right.
And that really is how it broke through.
Gave it respect.
Yeah, well, it got it out in places where it wasn't welcome in the first place. And that's how you shake people up.
But I thought the zine movement and all that died because of the internet, really, because everyone moved their zines online.
Well, yeah, because it was much cheaper.
Yeah.
Like, but it was dying before the internet really got there. It was slowly kind of collapsing here and there. And I think it was because of the homogenization of the distribution channels. Mm. And, you know, the fact that, you know, you get, like, you know, nationwide, you know, bookstore chains. And the thing is, you know, if you don't get into those, then you're screwed. And, you know, a lot of people weren't getting into those.
Huh, boy, I see the exact opposite. Let's see, the minute you get into those, you're screwed because you don't get paid. Because they'll take 90 days to pay some kid who's living week to week. It's ridiculous. A $30 check.
Yeah, but, you know, we'd have that with the mom-and-pop stores, too, though.
Like, oh, you sure?
We had plenty of places that would say, well, we'll take 30 copies on consignment. And, you know, it's like 6 months later you come back and there's still 22 copies there and... You know, they can't find the few bucks that they owe you, and you know, everything's dusty, and they've kind of beat them up and stuck them behind things. There's problems with each kind of venue. You just don't win. You know, what happens is the way books and things are distributed generally, they're considered disposable commodities. And the thing is, if you're a small press publisher, they're not. You spend, you know, you don't have all this advertising budget and other things that are, you know, whatever else supporting the production. So, you know, you kind of sit there and, you know, you create these products and you really, they're precious to you. You want to get them out there to people. And you just don't have lots of them to dispose of, really. Because you don't have, like, millions of copies of them.
And also, it's not a product to you. It's a piece of you. It's like your child.
Yeah.
It's a love.
Yeah, and that's not what the major publishers do with them. It's just like a toss-off.
Yeah, it's trees.
Right. Yeah, it's like drops in the ocean. Like, the waves keep crashing against you. And for us, it's something far more precious. So... It's a different concept, and it doesn't always go together because the people who are running the stores, they don't necessarily see the difference.
Yeah, that's a shame. But so you do you buy books anymore?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I find myself buying less, and it's cool as a publisher, as a person that loves the printed word and knows how valuable it is to keep the printed word out there. I don't buy books anymore too much. I read everything online.
I like holding a book and reading it. I really, you know, look at news stuff online because it's immediate and it changes and it's quick. But if I want to read something, I really rather have it in a book form. And I just like that. That's, you know, how I did it when I started when I was a little child, and it's still the way I feel most comfortable digesting something like that.
Yeah, because I buy some books like that, and I have had to stop buying books because I've bought so many I can't get a chance to read them.
Well, that's that. You can reach that point. I mean, you know, here in Manhattan, like, for us, it's, yes, how many of them stay here in the apartment? How many of them go off to the storage space? And, you know, you have to kind of rotate.
So you have an apartment outside your apartment, which is your storage space, huh?
Yeah, well, it's very full. Lots of books and things there.
Yeah, well, hey, man, it's been, I really appreciate your time and everything, Peter.
Well, I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk with you. And we've kind of had just a nice conversation tonight. That was a nice way of approaching things, so that instead of being kind of a more structured interview, it was fun give and take and throwing ideas around.
Yeah, I try to keep things like that. I have specific questions to ask you in a formal interview, but this was more... I wanted just to talk to you about this stuff. It's something that's been bothering me.
Mm-hmm. And I hope people find some of it of interest.
You don't think it will be interesting?
No, I think it will.
I've got some good questions for you, okay? Church of Satan style questions. I'm ready. Maybe next time, though. I do have some good questions.
Okay, well, we'll do
Hey, you got? Did you get a chance to listen to that Penn Jillette interview?
No, I haven't listened to that yet.
Oh, okay.
I've got that. And, you know, I have to get from you the Owen Leitch. You did one with him, right?
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, do you have that as a file I could get to?
You bet, man. Absolutely. Anything you want, I've got. I just, Owen's nice, man. I got a nice lamp from him. He's building a chandelier for me.
Yeah, he's a very talented guy. You know, really good fellow.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, now, people like that, and, you know, of course, like yourself, that, you know, give me hope for this organization, that we do keep attracting the right kind of people, that there are, you know, iconoclastic, creative individuals that come our way.
And in the COS?
Yeah,
I see there's a lot of shit, the cream of the crop at some point, a lot of the folks there, for sure.
We've got some really good people. It's, you know, if Dr. LeVay was still here, I think he'd be very proud of the folks that we've got. I think he really would. And, you know, he'd love to have met them and would have really enjoyed them. And it's a good thing. You know, it's growing and thriving. That's makes me happy.
Yeah, well, me too. LeVay was cool, man.
Yep, he was.
One of the most special times of my life, meeting him, you know. I've told you this before.
Yeah.
Many times, so it was really cool. Anyway, my ride's here. see?
It's the morning train.
Yeah, the morn horn. Peter, well, thanks a lot, man. Again, maybe in the future we can do a more structured interview.
Sure.
Adversary Recordings. Church of Satan High Priest Peter H. Gilmore's first compact disc release, Threnody for Humanity. Originally composed, written, performed, and recorded by Peter H. Gilmore between 1987 and 1989 at his home studio in the depths of Hell's Kitchen, New York City. The music in this recording was used to score the video documentaries Death Scenes 2 and Death Scenes 3. Here, for the first time, you will hear the complete original pieces sequenced by the composer himself. These recordings are complemented by all new original artwork created specifically for this release by artist Steven Kasdan. Threnody for Humanity. Available now through Mephisto Media.
Buy this fucking CD. Let me tell you, if you ever needed Halloween music, you know, to play outside when the kids are trick-or-treating, that's the CD. Let me tell you. Let me see. Oh, yeah, more. Here's some more of the Moog cookbook. And if you remember earlier, I let you in on a secret. Peter Gilmore is on this CD here. All right? He helped out. He did specifically did track number 9, Hotel California. You got to look up this record on the internet. The Moog cookbook put out by Restless Records. All right. This is a gay song. I don't think Peter had anything to do with that one. All right, Born in a Cat Scratch Fever. All right, earlier we advertised the CD for Peter Gilmore. Pick it up. Check out, there's links from the Church of Satan website. Okay? It's nothing like this. But this is as close as I get to appreciating any kind of ivory music, any tickling of the ivories. This is it, the Moog Cookbook. And, to my surprise, Peter let me in on a secret. He's actually jamming on Hotel California. Now, I think he said he'd probably never admit that again. But I'm letting you in on the inside information. That's why I can't quit telling you. Now, this is my kind of shit. Lynyrd Skynyrd here. Anyway, this is part 3. You're listening to part 3 of a 3-part interview. A conversation I had with Peter H. Gilmore, High Priest of the Church of Satan. Well, we just got done listening to it. What you're going to hear now is segments from a Bob Larson interview. Bob Larson had Peter Gilmore on his radio show, and that's a long time ago. I don't know when, but it's a long time ago. And I downloaded it off the internet a while ago, and I thought I'd share some of it with you. I cut out the callers and a good chunk of it's cut out. I'm going to make it available for download, though. There's a whole hour of Bob Larson versus Peter Gilmore, and I'm going to make that available on clubhate.com. Just keep checking clubhate.com, and I'm going to have a lot of downloads on there. And this Bob Larson interview in its entirety, which is about an hour and 10 minutes, I'll have that available on clubhate.com. And as always, you can always go to 3ringradio.com. I suggest you join the Evil Now news group, and that's how you'll be able to know when I post things where. Anyway, enjoy Peter Gilmore and Bob Larson.
Welcome to Talk Back with Bob Larson. I'll be here for the next hour talking about what's on my mind and hearing from you about what's on your mind. A little bit different topic today than I had originally planned. Well, we tell you to expect the unexpected. Now, yesterday, my guest was Blanche Barton, author of the book, The Diary, well, not The Diary, The Secret Life of the Satanist. Well, it is Anton LaVey's diary. And boy, did we hear some interesting things yesterday. Now, things got so hot and there was so much interest in this that I had planned to extend it for an extra day. And Blanche originally agreed to do that. Here's what she said at the end of the show. I want to ask you.
Yes.
You willing to go round 2 tomorrow?
Sure. Yeah. I'll be here.
But then she changed her mind. Said she was busy, had an appointment. I wonder. Well, okay. I mean, I'm not calling the woman a liar. What do I know? Maybe she did have some appointments she didn't know about. And prematurely committed herself to being on the show. But then she said, "Now I can't do the show." And I said, "Look, if you don't do the show, I'm going to presume the worst. We'll get you somebody else for the show." They did. In a few moments, you're going to be hearing from Mr. Pete Gilmore, the administrator of the Church of Satan, publisher and editor of the Church of Satan's official organ. It's called the Black Flame. In fact, he published Blanche Barton's book. This guy has an M.A. in music composition from New York University. This will not be a dull day. Stay tuned. My callers,
Satanists who want to defend the teachings of Anton LaVey, those of you who didn't get through to me yesterday, and ex-Satanists who say LaVey lies. They see Satan as a symbol of worldly indulgence. Members of the Church of Satan reject the salvation of Christ. Yesterday, I debated Blanche Barton, author of the authorized biography of Church of Satan founder Anton LaVey. The book entitled The Secret Life of a Satanist celebrates satanic indulgences and describes the lecherous lifestyle of LaVey. Barton initially agreed to debate me again today, but changed her mind after the show was over. Well, during yesterday's broadcast, Barton claims Satanists don't engage in criminal activity. Several of the callers said otherwise.
I was a weakling through Satan. I helped and sacrificed human 9 times by my own hand. You took the entrails of the human being and put them in a doll. Sometimes when we burn things, we'd burn the dolls. Or else we'd use them like a counter, you know, you put it on your shelf saying, this is one I've taken, this is one I've taken, so you know how many lives are underneath you.
Did you ever actually kill anyone?
Yes.
What they do is lie. What they also do is try to develop in children MPD because they certainly don't know the difference between good and bad.
We'd have a ritual where we'd crucify an animal and let it blood drain during the ritual and pass that chalice filled with it around as part of the black mass.
Peter Gilmore joins me in a moment now. That's what the caller said yesterday. Here's what Blanche Barton said about Christianity and satanic robots.
Christianity is a dead mythology. It won't work in an increasingly technological world.
Okay,
and you know it as well as I do. Flesh-like, very realistic. They're going to smell, taste, feel.
Robo-Satanists? Is that what we're going to have?
We'll have productive non-people rather than counterproductive people. They're gearing up for the production of them right now, even as we speak.
What?
Sure, of course. It's going to be the next big industry, Bob. And they can be human companions. They're mostly for companionship. They can nod and they can affirm or deny. If you're a masochistic personality, all they can do is just...
Well,
entering a new millennium. And Christianity is dead. Satanism is the only philosophy that allows for rationality and magic to explore all of these new technologies.
And what you're saying is that what we said about the Antichrist and the power of lawlessness as we see it coming to pass on Earth, you're part of the plan.
Yeah, sure.
We take down the world with a hand.
Peter.
Yes.
Why do you do what you do?
Why do I do what I do?
Yeah, you're on the losing side, man.
Oh, we...
Who wants to be a loser?
Haha, we think you're going to lose.
You think? Oh. I know. I read the end of the book.
Well, we don't think your book counts. It's propaganda from your side. Our book says otherwise.
There's a situation going on right now here in Colorado. You may or may not be aware of it. It's not the first time it's happened. A Colorado prison inmate is suing the state, saying his constitutional rights have been violated because the Department of Corrections confiscated his satanic Bible.
Well, if they're allowed to have holy Bibles, they should be allowed to have a satanic Bible.
Well, actually what happens is that the head of the Department of Corrections said the material is banned because it advocates violence and encourages people to defy authority.
Well, that's just too bad. It's a religious tract, and he should be allowed to have it if other religions are allowed to.
But the man's right. The man's right. I mean, yesterday we talked about the 11 satanic rules of Earth that is in Blanche's book, and it says right in there to treat people without mercy and destroy them if they get in your way.
Right, but it also says be responsible to the responsible. And also, your Bible says Jesus comes with a sword not to bring peace. That advocates violence.
No, it doesn't. That is a metaphor, and it doesn't, out of context, mesh with a proper biblical exegesis regarding the message of love that he brought. But there's nowhere in the satanic Bible you are ever told to love anyone except those who can do you good.
You love people who are of value to you. What's wrong with that? Why should you love the worthless?
Because Christ said so.
Well, that's not a good enough authority for us.
You guys don't like Christianity very much.
Oh, we really don't. We don't think it's very useful.
Christianity is dying of its own inertia. It has no vitality. Now it's just a matter of reaching generational extinction. All Christians will eventually die out like the holy rollers, quoth Anton LaVey.
That's right. Christianity has lost out to the new God, which is television. That's taken the place of what Christianity used to do for the West. It's giving people their values, their way of thinking.
Peter, I didn't think we'd ever agree on anything today. But all across this country, there are thriving churches growing by leaps and bounds, and the congregations that are the most conservative and the religious denominations that hold to the inerrancy of Scripture and still preach the reality of Jesus Christ are growing. They're having to build bigger churches just to hold the people. You guys aren't really winning. The statistics are not on your side.
Well, most... If you look at natural science, when stars are about to collapse, they puff up. And we see that that's what's happening. There's a wild hysteria happening throughout the Christian community. There's lots of factionalism. We see it as a last gasp, a sort of end times hysteria. We do see this as an apocalyptic time.
What do you do for the devil?
I do things for myself. I don't do anything for a being that doesn't exist.
Then why all this PR campaign about Satan?
It's a perfect symbol for how we are. You folks definitely would consider us satanic, our point of view. We are the Satans against your religion. We are the adversaries and opposers of your spiritual realm.
You also have a political agenda. You want to take over.
Well, we think that satanic forces already rule the earth. It'll be time when you folks finally acknowledge it. See, you're trying to push man into something he's not. We accept man as he is.
You're not at all embarrassed either. No. By your affiliation with Arianism and Nazism.
Well, we are not political and racial like that. Satanism represents an elitist position, but an elite can come from any ethnic background. So we're not national socialists. We're not socialists. Certainly, economically, I think most Satanists would support laissez-faire capitalism as the most...
But LaVey... But listen, LaVey also believes in and practices Nazi black magic ceremonies.
We take ceremonies from whatever culture exists. We take French ceremonies. We take Yazidi ceremonies from the Middle East. We can use any culture in the face of the earth because it's all mythology, and we'll take whatever myths we like to play with best.
Why the plurality here? Do you ever speak for yourself?
Of course.
You keep saying we.
I'm speaking for the Church of Satan.
I mean, Peter, as you blasphemy, spit in God's face. But it is the mercy and the grace and the love and the forgiveness of God that still gives you the breath of life in your body. You ever think about that, Peter?
God doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, okay. Just dismiss it summarily with one little simple quip.
Yep, that's how it is.
Well, you can't.
Oh, yes, we can.
No, you can't. Because the testimony of the created world around you, vibrancy of the faith of millions of people through the centuries.
There can be many people
who are... The reality of science.
the complexities of the cosmos all scream loudly that there is a God. So for you to arrogantly and ignorantly in your heart say, there's no God, you got to come up with something better than that, Peter.
No, there's a lot of people in the scientific community who don't believe that a God exists, that the universe's complexity is sufficient unto itself. There's no need for a supernatural force outside of it.
Peter Gilmore, administrator of the Church of Satan, my special guest. It advocates destruction rituals. It's an integral element, and Anton LaVey says in the Satanic Bible, if you do it and the person is dead as a result, rejoice, you rid the world of a pest. Come on. Now, Peter Gilmore, you know that's true. Come on, own up to it, man.
Sure, we rejoice when our enemies die. Didn't we all celebrate when Hitler was destroyed?
Hey, Hitler is one thing. In a just war with the corporate actions of a state through armies, but for you to individually take it upon your own diabolical lack of conscience to get even with somebody, that's quite another matter.
Well, the Church of Satan also advocates a much stronger police state to prevent criminal action. We're very interested in following the Satanic command for responsibility to the responsible.
Hey, any organization that got so much admiration for Hitler, I don't want running any kind of state in this country. Anybody who knows the real scoop on the Aryan ideology, underline LaVey's teachings, and many of the people involved know that this is a covert cult of neo-Nazis in many cases. I can quote you right from the book, The Secret Life of a Satanist, that admits the employing of Nazi black magic ceremonies. Come on now, don't you guys worm out at this one? Are you guys wimps or what? Come on.
Bob, I already told you we take from all mythologies. If we were only concerned with Nazi Germany, that would be one thing, but we're very Catholic in that respect.
You're not Catholic in that respect. You are Nazi in that respect, and don't give me that quiet little intoned, we borrow from anybody. I don't want to borrow from Hitler. I don't want to borrow from the Nazis.
Well,
you say that so calmly. They killed 6 million people, man. That doesn't bother you?
Or
the Jews' pests that the world needed rid of, huh?
Bob, what about the Inquisition? Christians murdering. What about Northern Ireland? Bombings of abortion?
Sir, if this were a logic debate, you'd be thrown out at that particular point. You'd have your chance to bring it up later. But the way to answer an argument is to answer the argument, not bring up another one.
That's not another one. You guys are violent.
Deal with it, sir. Deal with it.
You are violent people.
You're not answering the question. You're squirming. You're waffling. Answer the question. You acknowledge the infusion of Aryan ideology, the admiration for Hitler, and the use of Nazi black magic ceremonies in Satanism, and you're not embarrassed by it.
We use, as I said, from all different cultures. We are elitists and we are beyond ethnic boundaries. If you look at Nazi Germany, they are promoting a specific national and ethnic organization. We are not doing that. We are not Nazis. Also, Hitler told people that they should put their ego below the greater good of others. Well, we put the ego above everything, so we certainly are not Nazis.
Peter, was Hitler evil?
It depends on what your definition of good and evil is.
Peter, was Hitler good or evil?
Hitler was neither. He did good and evil acts. I'd say the evil outweighed the good in his case.
Were the crematoriums evil?
Certainly.
Nicholas Schreck won't own up to that. You guys have a division here at the high top ranks. Can't you agree on anything? When I debated Nicholas, he refused to say that Hitler was evil. Don't you guys make up your minds about what's bad and what's good?
As I just said, there are good acts and evil acts. You can't put it all under one judgment. You have to look at the very complex historical situation that was there.
Is there such a thing as evil?
Everyone can come up with their own personal definitions of good and evil.
I dip my forefinger into the watery blood of your impotent Redeemer and write over his thorn-torn brow, the Prince of Evil, the King of Slaves. I gaze into the glassy eye of your fearsome Jehovah and pluck him by the beard. I uplift a broad axe and split open his worm-eaten skull. That's putrid before I vomit. Let me tell you, those are the words of Anton LaVey.
Actually,
Peter,
that is a polemic beard.
Design to be inflammatory.
Sure.
You're not embarrassed by that.
Not at all. It's wonderful poetry.
Jesus Christ, who opened blind eyes, who healed lepers, who was crucified for loving, you want to lift up an axe and split open his worm-eaten skull?
We don't even really believe that your Christ exists. We think he's synthesized from many other pagan myths.
Quickly, how'd you become a Satanist?
When I read the Satanic Bible.
That did it.
Yep. And actually, I feel I was a Satanist before then. I just didn't know what to call it. We think.
How about selfish? How about just plain selfish?
No, we're selfish. We find no problem with that.
No problem with being selfish.
No. Nope.
No problem with being materialistic. No problem with being greedy. No problem with being lustful. No problem with getting even with people. No problem with taking vengeance into your own hands. Anything you people have a problem with?
Let's see. People who would enslave other people. We would have a problem with that. We have a problem with people who destroy other people's property. We have a problem with thieves.
Well,
we have a problem with stupidity.
Let me tell you something. Peter, all due respect, you and your ilk have stolen the decency and the innocence of many people. The thief of morality, the thief of justice, the thief of goodness is whom you serve. And Jesus said he was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. You've stolen, all right. And you've been caught for your crimes. Notice the tone of Peter's voice. Dispassionate. Detached. No feelings. Cut off, isolated. Inhuman. We're taking calls from Satanists and ex-Satanists, Pam in Massillon, Ohio. Go ahead, Pam.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
I got a question for Peter there. Okay, what about Alan Cambridge whenever he was a Satanist? And he had taken his daughter into the church when she was very young. Okay, and...
Alan's name? I couldn't hear that.
Alan Cambridge had her daughter, had his daughter, Heather Cambridge, and was going to sacrifice her for Satan. Made her, had her grow. He had had intercourse with her, produced a baby. The baby died.
Now, that guy should be locked up.
Okay, all right. So, but he got away with this.
Well, then, how did he get away with it, if you know about
it? Hey, Peter, come on. Now, I have investigated cases like this all over the country in spite of what you people want to believe. People who read the book of the Satanic Bible are killing babies. They are killing human beings. They are performing bloodletting and flesh-eating ceremonies, and they're doing it in the name of the devil that you worship. It is happening, and don't keep giving this stuff. Well, put them in jail. You know very well the clandestine nature, the activities of these people, and the lack of evidence because of the bodies that are disposed of means that they're getting off scot-free. How many people did Richard Ramirez kill before they got them? And look what happened down in Matamoros, Mexico. 15 people were long dead, and if it hadn't been for Mark Kilroy's parents, who were Christians persisting in that thing, they never would have been found. Come on now, this stuff is going on. How many more Matamoros, Mexicos is it going to take before we wake up?
I think those people should be stopped. We do say that.
No, I think you should be stopped, sir. You're the one who ought to be stopped. You're the one who is sitting back, smiling on the sidelines, feeding this diabolical ideology that's making those people do that. You are as guilty as they are. You are the murderers, the accomplices of their crime.
No, we think that you folks are.
Well, that's easy to say, but don't give me quick quips here. Give me some intelligent reaction.
Well, you have Christians killing children thinking that they're possessed. We have many cases of...
No, you don't have many cases. A few isolated cases of mentally unstable people.
Well, that's the same kind of people that you're pointing to. They're mentally unstable people who we don't consider Satanists.
You holy rod, goddammit, get out!
Don't hit him. Don't hit him.
Go on! This
man is drunk.
You bet your life I'm drunk. And tomorrow I'll be sober, and you'll still be a goddamn face artist. Now get the fuck
sir,
out of here.
I wish you would understand
you know,
the gravity.
I wish you and your kind had one neck, so I could just get my hands around it. Just wring it. Now get up. My bad passion. In the name of the Holy Ghost.